good to have a full board again.
Yay!
Yeah. So let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance. We're going to flag it here. There's one on the back. This one's probably a little easier to see.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda if I can have a second.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Next, this is pretty exciting. We're going to have our student presentation of middle school robotics students. Ms. Joyce Metzler. So I think the board can kind of move over.
Do you want Joyce to introduce a little bit?
Sure,
before?
For the listening audience.
Do you mind,
pretty excited.
Joyce?
Just a little introduction.
That would be great. Thank you.
I'm Joyce Metzler, and I'm new here. I teach math at the high school. And one of the things we're always challenged with in math is to bring real-world problem-solving into the classroom. And it's hard to do until I came across this robotics program that's sponsored internationally, actually. This is the best open-ended problem-solving activity I've ever had for kids. They're presented with different missions that they're supposed to program their robot to accomplish. They're not given any design criteria. They have to come up with the robot's design and all the implement design. They have to write their own programs. They have to do a report to judges on it. They have to do an independent research project, and they also have to do an open-ended problem, immediate problem-solving activity when they're in competition. So they have three presentations, essentially, that they give in the morning, and then in the afternoon they compete against other teams in a 2.5-minute run on the table. So they have to plan strategy. Which missions will they choose? Which missions can they accomplish with the skills that they have? And how are they going to change members at the table? Only two people can be at the table at one time. They're not going to run through the routine as if it were a competition today, but I would like your indulgence if they can show you some of the programs that they wrote. And so if you'd like to come over to the table, they'll show you the programs that they were going to use at competition. So come on over and we'll take a look at it.
Easy when it's done, but we certainly had to work on it, didn't we?
Yeah, the hardest part was trying to get it all aligned. That time, I didn't put the actual short tape close enough to the wall, and so it hit it and it pushed it over a little bit.
So she made points by making it into the region it was supposed to be in, but the shark fell over, so she didn't make as many points as she could have. So speed does matter on that one.
Okay.
Liam, do you want to run yours next? And we'll kind of go in the order that we get on that.
So this program does multiple things, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
So first thing it'll do, it goes up here, pushes this thing, which is supposed to be like a seeing eye dog. Picks up this mirror sample and quickly picks up the page. Already, it's not the most dependable. Mm-hmm.
And then you do the food thing next.
And then my next one is I push out this bucket so then Liam can catch food with it.
We're supposed to do all of this in 2.5 minutes. Mm. We're not rushing today because.
And while she's doing that, usually in competition, I take this component off.
And he puts on those ones.
Oh, nice.
You're prepping for the next challenge.
Yeah, because it usually takes me a while to get this on and then the program, and then he puts that on. So that's that one.
It's really
simple. But, yeah, a lot of...
Because it doesn't get us any points to get the pieces out of here. We have to get the pieces into these little circles in order to get any points. So all of this is just to get the pieces out so we could get we could deliver them to the animals.
So this is kind of a less dependable mission.
It's pretty risky.
Yeah. So it goes forward, pushes this towards that, and pulls this so little food thing can come out. Goes right there.
That's a
book.
Yeah, it's a rock wall.
And rock it's not as dependable because sometimes it can get caught on the thing. So that wouldn't give us as many points because you want to try to get two of one type, like color. Because if you can only get points if you get two of the same color and one of the things.
And then mine is retrieving it, which the line might can kind of be a little bit weird because Liam's robot can push it into different spots. And so I kind of have to just work with the alignment as it is. I don't want to delete that.
It only takes a few tries.
Yeah, sometimes it usually takes a few tries. And then during the actual tournament, Liam had missed the bee and it like got here some of the time, so I have to use this. I tried this program a few times.
Okay, so let's move that one in. Let's go on to Ben. Right, Ben, you're next.
And for this next program, I take two of the foods and I feed them to the gorilla.
Do we need this anymore?
I don't think so.
No.
Where's the gorilla?
The gorilla's right here. Oh, I'm upside down. Okay.
But he can only deliver one piece of food at a time. So he's got to
hit that.
Is anybody putting any food in there? And of course, they have to rush to get this done in 2.5 minutes, so it's a lot of time. They work really fast during competition. Anyway.
What happens at 2.5? Is it like stop, get away, stop touching, or is it just start taking away points?
Kind of. You can only have two people at the table at a time, so at this point I'd be off and maybe fixing supplies for people to get ready while they're at the thing doing their
meetings. And now it's your turn, right, Isaiah?
Oh, I have to do it twice.
Okay, and then... And Isaiah was really important about getting our team started because it was a little intimidating to look at all this and try to figure out which missions we would do and how can you possibly program it to get them done. And so this is one of the programs that really got us started. It's very complicated, and Isaiah worked on it for, I don't know, a couple of weeks probably, didn't you?
But
once he got this one working, then it inspired everybody else to give the table a try. So I give Isaiah a lot of credit for getting us moving.
So sadly, it got deleted, so I had
Wait,
to...
Wait, it did?
Well, no, not from the robot.
Oh, yeah, the original program you wrote.
So I had to fix it, but it doesn't necessarily work anymore.
Yeah, so you had to rewrite it at one point.
Sometimes it can, sometimes it can't. So, let's hope for the best.
So he's supposed to pick up the bee, put it on a beehive, and release the honey with the bee on the hive. So we'll see if that... And he had it working like 100%, but he can get the bee.
Hey.
The bee's got a sticky on the hive. So it's a lot harder than it looks. And let's see. Ben, the pig?
Wait, should I do my first?
Yeah, you should use the pig.
Oh, Ben's got the pig, though. Go ahead and do the purple one.
Oh, yeah, his.
And we had an NXT, this is an ED3, it's got a little different program. If you're interested, Isaiah can show you how they actually went through programming. Ben was working with an NXT, which is a different programming system, and he wrote a program that brought the robot out here. And this is a milking parlor, and you're supposed to rotate it far enough, oops, that the milk will come out, but you can't rotate it too far because then the waste products come out. And Ben had that working really nicely with an NXT robot, and we just didn't have time to get it programmed on the ED3. But it was a really nice little program. He had a great job working on it.
And
they just got that.
So that was good too.
So this is a new one that's we're
gonna
do the next competition.
So if we're able to compete virtually with Anchorage, I'm trying to find out if we're gonna be able to. They're already starting to write new programs, and we just got back Monday morning at 1:30. So they're
Monday evening. That's on a separate room. So we saw another team, the winning team, actually do this programming competition. It was really simple, and it got, I think, 17, maybe?
Something like 17 points, I think.
And it just
But he wrote this one this afternoon. He delivered the trainer and his dog out to the training area. That's all there was to that one.
And you run that twice. You can only do it one kind of maneuver thing.
Let's let Ben run his, because they have a meeting yet to do, so.
So this
takes a lot of time.
We'll just pretend that this is two of the same.
Oops. Boy, he's going to do the food thing, too. I don't think you need any.
This is less a pinball. I also did this one today.
So he's trying to get food to drop, those two food particles to drop. We have some work to do on that one, but that was this afternoon as well. And then Ben we don't get any points for the pig unless a pig is delivered to the farm. So Ben's going to deliver the pig to the farm. It's got a prosthetic set of legs on it. Yeah, little pig. And we don't want to use it. He's upside down. Perfect. See, it's right inside the farm area. And so he started writing it so that he was going to continue so he would push the milk out of the milking parlor, but we didn't get quite that far either. It just takes some time. But we really want to thank the school board for sponsoring the travel to Juneau. There is so much learning that goes on here. You know, I've been in this profession for many, many years, and I've got to tell you, this is probably the best opportunity for kids to learn how to solve problems in an open-ended way. Now, Malcolm worked on a robot. He worked on a different idea for robots, but while the rest of the team was working on the table for competition, Malcolm was working with some ideas that we think will work for next year. Malcolm, you want to explain briefly?
Let me just say that this robot right here I was trying to get it so that I could do a program on the table, but I spent most of my time actually trying to get it to work.
Can you explain some of the features? You've got three different features there.
This piece right here, this whole entire front piece, is meant to bring these up.
Like
move them up.
Oh.
Like that. But the gears for it to go up really don't work that well. Mm-hmm. However, this piece right here, can you see it on the bottom?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That piece is the steering spot, and it is meant to steer from these wheels. Can you see how? Yeah. And then I have these back, this motor back here to turn these wheels that it will move.
So he's using a steering mechanism like a car, whereas this one steers by slowing one wheel down or speeding up the other one or stopping one. So he's trying to use an actual automotive type of steering on his robot. Do you have any questions? Anybody have any questions?
It's amazing. Can't wait to see what you're going to do next.
Can I say something else?
Can you say something? Sure.
I was also, now that I have another idea, I'm going to try a program on that for trying to get the camera off of that. I was also trying to do the camera off that on this, but it didn't seem to work. So I'm going to do it on the competition robot so that we get actual points.
To student representative report, Casey Evans.
Oh, all right, so had a lot of stuff going on recently. We just got finished with the high school band concert last night. That went pretty well. We were able to broadcast it on YouTube Live, and it was. You can also go in and look at it anytime you want. It's archived now, so that's pretty exciting. Before that, we had the Nutcracker going on over the weekend. That went really well. We have the Poetry Out Loud coming up on Wednesday. So we're going to go out of class at fifth period and go watch the people read their poems and hopefully send somebody to up the next level. We have the Little Norway basketball tournament is coming up on Thursday. So everybody's getting ready for that. And then winter break is gonna start this Friday. I know everybody's getting really excited. And yeah.
Good job in the Nutcracker.
Thanks.
Any questions for Casey? No? Okay, we'll move on. Any correspondence? No. Okay, comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items? Comments from the audience related to agenda items? Okay, comments from board members? Okay, we'll move on to the consent agenda, which includes, for those that are listening, the accounting, our minutes, grant award acceptance, as well as extra duty contracts. So I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Irene, can you call the roll?
Sure. Cheryl Kyle?
Yes.
Mara Lutomsky?
Yes.
Randy Marul?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes. Okay, motion passes 5-0. Moving on to administrative reports, superintendent report.
Well, we are in Christmas busy season, so as Casey referred to, there's a lot of things going on in the community and a lot more things coming up, so that's always a lot of fun. In my world lately, what's been going on, the state has announced our new assessment for this spring, which is coming out. They just announced last week. It's through DRC, which is the same company that we currently do our alternate assessments through, and also our ELL, our English Language Learner assessments. I think there's a couple options for it. We can either do it paper version or online. It's December, almost Christmas. It's a little late in the season to get going with it all, but we know that we'll be able to do it. So I don't think we've made a decision as a district yet which way we're going. It's not going to be as involved as the last AMP testing was, as far as if we do determine to go with the technological version. It's not going to be as extensive as the AMP testing was. But there are always the potential for glitches. So we'll figure it out before. I think we have to make a determination before Christmas which way we're going to go with that. So we'll be doing that. Also received last week, and I think I forwarded it on to you and to staff as well, but the Secure Rural Funds, Secure Rural Schools funding, federal funding, that they're trying to make a decision before the end of the year, being December 31st, end of the year, about that funding. And we knew that it was potentially coming down the road to be defunded, and at this point it is not in the federal budget for the coming year. So that is a big deal. We are sitting in a better position than most because of the borough putting aside some of that funding over the years, but it will be part of our continuing conversations how we're going to do that, because it amounts to $600,000 out of our $1.8 million that we received from the borough. So it's a big deal. So anyway, our next meeting with the borough, we've been pleased to be having conversations with them proactively, and we do have another meeting with them early in January. Sarah and I, and Karen, and then Mr. Giesbrecht and Jody, and anyway, kind of trying to just continue conversations before it becomes a huge panic. Lots going on. We've got a tech committee meeting tomorrow. I think Sarah is on that committee. That's after school. I think we have a policy committee meeting tomorrow at noon. Just trying to keep up with our ASB updates and talking about getting ready to kind of formalize, I think, our meal charging policy. Try to get that before the board, maybe in January or February, to review that. And just trying to stay warm around here. We did have a little bit of excitement with a sprinkler this week and a frozen pipe. So far no leaks. It kind of depressurized and repressurized, and we've got a crack team around here, so it's all good. And then there was quite a bit of excitement here about 2 weeks ago, I guess. Quite a lot of water in the last rainstorm that was creating a lake out here by the old doors to Parks and Rec. So their crew was super busy that day in that horrible downpour on a Friday for about 10-12 hours, trying to get that stopped and digging a whole huge hole behind the district office there. And then our crew worked with their crew, and then we've been pulling buckets of sand out of drains and all kinds of things. So anyway, we have a good team. That's what I'm going to say. So, no damage, and good cooperative teamwork there. So, anyway, keep knocking on wood about the cold. It's supposed to get warmer, and we're just going to keep positive thinking that there won't be any issues with all that. It's nice and warm in here, and our boilers are all working well, so that's good. New boilers, and yeah. So, okay. Any questions for me? Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to principal's report versus Principal Tolan.
Try it this way. Okay, well, it's great to be here. we had our conferences, and we were happy to have a very good turnout. And as you know, we did a different scenario where we had conferences in the evenings instead of having that half morning on Wednesday. And there was mixed feelings about how that went, but we did have good good attendance, and we just appreciate all the families for coming and making that a point. So today we had a special presentation, Pia Riley and Heidi Lee, and Pia's friend Cindy were at the school along with Jillian Verstig, and they did their traditional Swedish walkthrough and talked to the kids about Santa Lucia and sang some songs. And so that was a fun cultural thing for them to share. We appreciate their time doing that. They've done it for many years, and we've missed a couple, but we're glad to have them back. Also, teachers did a drumming workshop with Matt Lenhard, and the intent was to show teachers how to use the drums, some of the benefits of drumming together, and let them be a little more comfortable coming down and using those drums that Pi had purchased for them. So it was really an interesting thing. I think they'll get a lot of use. Speaking of Pi, there is a meeting tomorrow at 4:30 at the Stedman Library. We invite all families to attend and help us plan out our activities, looking at a dance this winter and some other activities for art sometime in the spring. So love to have people come and help with that. And our classes are littered with glitter. It's wonderful. A bit magical and fun over there. It's also very cold, and we want to remind families to send gloves and hats and protect those little kiddos during their outside time. We have beautiful art in the halls. It'll be fun for people to come and see that. Speaking of which, we did a special project with some little wooden stars, and we called it Wishes for the World, and people can go and see those little stars hung up in the public library, in the children's library, but children took a moment to make a wish that they would want for the world, and there are little pictures on it, and it's quite beautiful, and thanks to Superintendent Painter and Miss Clute Painter and Miss Joyce. They went down and spent a couple hours hanging them up. So while they're down there, we hope they stop and get some books for the holidays. On Friday, we have the sing-along at 9 o'clock for the school, and we'd like to invite everybody, but there's just not room, but just know that your kids will be participating in that on Friday. We also have a fun sweater day or dress up in crazy Christmas colors on Thursday, and then students are released at the regular Friday time of 1:45, and then I think it's supposed to snow, so we're ready. So do you have any questions? Or
I'm curious about the drumming. So was it to kind of incorporate it in the classroom?
Well, it was just to show teachers how you can do that, to bring them down. And so it's like working collaboratively, listening to other people, taking directions. It can be a very healthy thing for students. So hopefully they'll take advantage of that. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
thank you.
Any questions? Okay, thank you very much. Principal Dormer.
Good evening. Busy time, lots of... For once, I actually feel too tall for the microphone. That doesn't happen ever, actually. Cool, thank you. Must be growing. Finally, it's Christmas miracle. Yay. Busy time, lots going on. I kind of picked the high point. I know that Jamie will cover a lot with activities. It is that someone made a comment, I think, yesterday, just at the band concert. Our kids are doing so many awesome things that they look tired. No offense, Casey, you look great. But I know they have all things you're involved in, and as all your fellow students. So it's awesome. We want our kids busy. It's great. How to start with? As Casey mentioned, Poetry Out Loud is here. This is just a cool thing we love, just because I feel like it reaches kind of all different types of kids, and just kind of almost the theater piece where we darken the auditorium, put the spotlight, and they're on the mic, and that's tomorrow. That's at 11 o'clock. I know it's a weird time for folks to get in if they're working and stuff, but it is open. People can come in quietly and kind of sit back and check it out. It's in the auditorium. It's at 11, I think. It goes to about 12:30. They're being judged then, so of course people will be polite, and again, there'll be some classes in there watching as well, so I just love it. It's a cool thing, and like Casey said, I hope we get to send some girls and guys at the next level. Also great music, great concert last night. Always enjoy the Christmas high school concert and then the winter concert. And then this Thursday is the middle school concert, so folks will come out, watch 6th, 7th, 8th graders do their thing. Mr. Linhart and his kids will have another performance. It'll be great. Oh, what else have we been doing? Let's talk about here. Something interesting, just to keep the board informed of what's going on, it's almost a little bit of a borough piece, is that I remember we spent some time last year getting that GED computer going, and John Kludpainter and Caleb have been working with me to get that going, and just something I believe in, I know a lot of us do, about just educating everyone in the community, and even if they're past 12th grade, or and it will benefit. In fact, we do have a student in the independent program that's looking to take the GED, and we do believe it's a good option for this young man, and so excited to have it. And then we were able to offer it. We had a local adult in the community who needed a test and was going to fly to Juneau, didn't have to. So it was really cool to be able to offer that. So we got it up and going. We had it up and going, and now we kind of the next step of actually giving the first test was like, whoa, now we have to do, you know, it's got an electronic signature, and you have to take their picture, and then one computer has to talk to the other computer, and it was a tech support. But again, lots of us all working, John. Dave Owens is going to help build this little table, so we're trying to make it so we can set it up. It's got to be very formal, but anyway, I feel like it's just a great thing for the community, and it will benefit some of our students who a regular diploma track may not be the right plan. It's whatever point in their life, and then we can also offer the GED, but just cool to be able to do that. And again, the borough helped us with a little bit of the money that way too to get that computer, so just kind of reporting that we gave the first test and it was successful.
I would actually like to recognize that you put probably 3 hours into that, and that I think John probably put a couple hours in. So
just yesterday, not counting the days before.
It's
that.
A lot of time.
It
so
is. Yes, thank you.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You. We do. Thanks.
It's a lot of time and effort that's going into
Yeah, and hoping now that we're going, we're hoping. Fingers crossed that it won't be a lot more.
It's a great service.
It is. It's cool. Some of the things we do is continue to use our PBIS data, which is positive behavior and intervention supports, and some in the high school we're just encouraging kids to get to class on time. And tardies, to be honest, have not been a terrible problem, but especially at the high school level, they're always an issue. It's just they have that so much freedom, and to encourage them to get to class on time. So we're doing a couple rewards, just some things that were bought with some grant funds and donated, like free movie tickets and stuff. So we've been doing that the last few weeks, and just letting you know doing that, and kids are doing great. Again, our tardies are usually pretty well. Our kids do a pretty good job of clearing the halls. If you've ever been here right at 8:30 or in between classes, they really do a nice job. It's pretty quiet right when that bell rings, which is awesome. But also, we also spent some time, we had paid for a system earlier to analyze some of our behavior data on the other side of having discipline and tracking discipline, and we did just review that with staff, and we stopped paying for that service. It was fine, but it wasn't exactly what we needed, and it just seemed like we could do better with our Google, and we are, and it was the first time we did that. It was great, so kind of got some data on it shows you what time of day kids are getting read up for what, you know, offensive. Obviously, it shows your high flyers and what teachers are writing kids up for what. So it's good just to look at that and give you some data to feedback for, you know, how kids are doing and how teachers are responding. So we just did that recently. It's good. It's good information. We also had conferences, and again, just as Principal Tolan said, great to really appreciate the community coming in. And we had good totals. I actually had some data. I love Carly Mann's at desk with other folks and writes it down. We had almost 70%, actually, I think we had almost all of our freshmen eventually, but over the two nights, about 70% of our freshmen came in, and then I know a few teachers caught up with them later. 33% of our sophomores, so those are our lowest, 48% of our juniors, and 50% of our seniors, so that's not bad, actually, for the secondary level. And we just keep encouraging folks, and if they missed a conference, to schedule, because we love meeting with them and talking with them, so that was a good time. And for people who are listening, we are aware that sometimes there's that line, and we just keep working on it. It's such a different animal where we can't. You know, where kids don't just have one teacher, where they have multiple teachers, and trying to find ways to make it so that you're still valuing somebody's time and not cutting them short, but at the same time trying not to have a line of people out the door waiting. So it's just always trying to figure it out. But appreciate people coming in and the time our teachers put into that. Also, anything coming up, Carly Johnson has been working with, you know, Dan Tate and us and Jamie and all of the Kara's been working with us a lot. We're trying to get that the cafe. I hope you were able to get in there for the Nutcracker. I bet a lot of you were in there and just kind of see that up and moving and having more and more kids eat in there. And our goal here is, especially as we get into January, where we thought almost every weekend between January and mid-February is a basketball game or some event going on there. And so we're working on this idea of concessions, of kind of having just a set menu. And then we just got a freezer in today, which is exciting. So there's this big industrial freezer that we've been kind of working on getting. And the idea is we can order through like Sysco or who our food service uses here. And we can save a lot of money than, you know, and we'll still run up to the store and support locally. But the big things, you know, and So we've been working out to kind of get some idea of what are we going to serve, you know, all the time. Kind of like Little League has their set. You go up there and have a menu, and that's what you buy. And by ordering ahead of time and kind of having a set menu, we can save money and, you know, use those funds to go back to activities. And then also offer a decent meal service all the time and not just be, you know, that one night where whatever club decides, hey, let's do concessions. So that's pretty exciting to be able to do that. We needed that freezer space so we could kind of order some stuff and keep it there. And then we were hoping to get that going. So it's going to work. If anyone's like, boy, I'm super interested in commenting on the concession items, I'm happy to share a Google Doc with you, board members, or any of you. We're just getting input and say, hey, what are some things you think we should serve? What are some things we definitely should not serve? We'd love to hear that. Like, there's no, like, asparagus on the menu and stuff. But there are hamburgers and hot dogs, so maybe. I know, some people love. My mom loves asparagus. I don't. But so that's what our team here in charge, and we get to decide what we're going to offer and what we're not. No asparagus because of Mr. Dormer. You can put that in
there. We're going to quote that.
But again, yeah, pretty cool. I just love that we're progressing and doing that. We've been working on for so many years and trying to get the idea down and just loving it. And so many people involved in getting that going. I just personally was able to go up and see Allstate Music and again, just continue to congratulate Mr. Reinhardt on the program he does. And he was up there and just see a lot of kids up there. Really cool to see us so well presented. And that was my first time. That is an amazing musical concert for the state of Alaska. It's really cool. So if you ever have a chance or you're around and that's happening, it was really cool. Really enjoyed the music. And then just see, oh, there's a blue robe. That's us. Oh, look, there's another one that's blue robe. It was cool to see us represented in so many ways up there. It's pretty awesome. And then finally, just to again congratulate Mrs. Metza. I just love that. I hope you enjoyed that presentation. She came over from Metlakatla. She'd done that just a couple of years there, and Metlakatla was really excited about it. She kind of pitched it to Jamie and I. I mean, God bless her for doing it. Just as a first year, she's not a first year teacher, but a first year teacher in a new district with new curriculum and a new town and all that stuff. And she was kind of hemming and hawing. Like, please, we kind of jumped in and said, "We'll do it. Come on, do it." And she wrote a couple grants to get some money to get that stuff going. And if you don't know the big picture, many of you do, but you know, Mrs. Toland and Mr. Sullivan maybe they do some of this robotics in the elementary school, and now we Mr. Brock has taught a robotics class for years where they do the basics of that. Maybe you've seen that at a board presentation. And now we have this competitive team, but you can see what they're doing. And there were many more kids involved there. Some of the kids, there were almost twice that many, but, you know, just kind of coming and going. They couldn't quite do it all the way through to competition. But we're involved in that. And then the high school has been doing some programming. If you ever walk around the halls, you'll see there's a kid that has a couple kids we work in. Casey can explain that little programmable glowing ball that rolls around the halls. And they program that, and it just kind of zips around the halls like that. And then they're doing some computer coding up there with these Raspberry Pi devices. So I love it is this kind of scope and sequence district-wide, and we're just hoping to keep it going. It's really exciting. But, again, thanks to Ms. Metza. You can see that it's just high-quality stuff, you know what I mean? And what's exciting is I'm hoping as we continue to get forward, I think there's a lot of funding for that, the STEM money around. A lot of funding. And so I'm hoping, although it did cost us a little bit this year for travel, I think that's something that will probably sustain itself once we find the right grants. Let's keep working on it. I talked too long. I'm sorry. Any questions?
How did middle school conferences go? Did you guys keep
I don't have the data. No, I don't know if we keep that as much. Yeah, good question. No, and Mrs. Roden is down there a lot, but I don't know if she keeps the data quite.
Is that also like high school where you just kind of show up at
good question. It's both. We schedule for one day.
Oh, okay.
And then we have kind of drop-in for one, and we still have lines and stuff there, too. We can't schedule as many people don't want to be scheduled, and we can't have as much drop-in time as we'd like. It's tricky. Thanks for asking. Okay. Actually, their attendance uses it a little bit higher. There is kind of this cascading scales. Elementary obviously does the best to get people. I know, it's okay. I'll say that once. And then middle school and then high school, just by age.
Okay.
Other questions?
Thank you. Maybe high school could show us some of the programming. They're doing some time.
Yeah, that's pretty cool stuff.
Okay, next activities report, Mr. Cabal. It's been quiet, hasn't it?
I'm just happy I'm home for more than 29 hours. It's been good. Lots of stuff going on. Our wrestlers just got back from Sitka, and I think they were home for the 29-hour trip, and we had half of them leave, more than half of them leave today, and another bunch leaving tomorrow. State volleyball just got back. Great performance by the kids there. They did fantastic there. Second place in state, not too bad to finish up. So they did great on that one. So thank you. And they also earned the sportsmanship award for the second year in a row. So the girls, kudos to them for being amazing competitors too. And basketball and cheer are off and rolling already. So we finish one and keep going with the next ones. We'll be home this weekend with this year's a JV tournament with our Little Norway kids. So last year we kind of noticed that our younger population wasn't getting as many games, so we kind of flip-flopped that, and our young kids will get a lot more playtime, which is good. So, Juno Douglas girls, Thunder Mountain boys, Thorn Bay boys and girls coming down. The first one shows up at 1:30 in about 6 hours, so we'll go pick them up here soon. So they'll be here in the building. Woo-hoo. And then middle school wrestling will start when we get back from break. So never ending there. So, and our wrestlers did phenomenal. We had 11 qualify for the state tournament out of 17 wrestlers. So almost all of them went up. And the outstanding wrestler was from Petersburg, was Tegan Schwartz, won the outstanding wrestler unanimously. So he did a fantastic job over there too. So. Kudos to Coach Vince Horgen and Coach Schwartz, and just keep plugging away at it. So that's it. Pretty boring world. But kudos to Joyce Metz and her crew, too. That was impressive on their robotics program there. Just like Mr. Dorm was saying, the basic robotics exploratory that they take just to program that and then to start programming it to lift bees and put it on a hive, that's a whole other ballgame for it. Pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. So pretty fun group. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any questions?
I'll keep it quiet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good. Awesome.
Okay. Director of Finance report, Karen.
Did you guys Erica, it's okay.
Well, really. No, they get
I'm not going to read a page.
I know
page.
You're not going to.
I'm not. Welcome to the board, Brandy, and
light reading.
We're happy to have you, and you get to indulge in this light reading here. It's been pretty busy district-wide, just lots going on, and then, of course, in the finance office. I'm not sure if the board is aware that Adrian, my assistant, has been out on medical leave since the end of October, so we are certainly wishing her a speedy recovery and look forward to her coming back to the district. I do have to thank Erica and Irene and Marcia Sandhofer for helping me out while I'm so short-staffed, and they're just priceless. They offer to help in any way that they can, and of course, the job that we do in the finance office is pretty specific, so we're kind of limited in what I can have them do, but they're great because they're always offering. The financials for fiscal 16, you guys have them. Nothing has changed since the drafts were gone over last month. You're welcome to take the copy. If you don't want the copy, that's fine. I also have it electronically, so if you prefer to have it electronically, I'd be happy to give it to you that way. And we will be posting it on our website. So, in November, John Clude Painter and I attended a one-day training down in Seattle on E-Rate. And E-Rate is a federal program that is actually based on our free and reduced numbers. And basically what this program provides is 40% discount in our long distance and local phone service, as well as 80% discount in our internet. In the last 2 years, we have applied for and been funded for Category 2 funding, which is basically infrastructure. So it was really great for John and I to attend this conference. We do this once a year, so we don't really know what we're doing some of the times because it's a federal program, it's very involved, and when you're doing it once a year, you're looking through all the videos and just trying to, everything's a timeline. We did realize that Category 1 funding, we could actually be capitalizing a little bit more on that, so we are going to be looking at basic maintenance of our, infrastructure, of our network, and that can be funded in addition to just our internet service. So it was a really beneficial conference, and it was free as far as to attend it, and it was a full day intensive. So that was really great. So we get about $92,000 this year in funding from that program. Last week I was out of the office. I went to the Alaska Association of School Business Officials Conference. I'm actually on the board for that organization, and this conference is great because we all get together and we talk about best practices in school finance. And then, again, it's another intensive, this is what's new, this is what we're going to be dealing with as far as issues in the next year on the federal, the state level, and that's a great conference. So I thank the board and Erica for letting me go. So, let's see. Next month, I'm hoping to have a budget revision for you guys. And second quarter grants are due, too. So that's about all I have going on. Any questions?
Well, thank you for all
we have helped a little bit, but she has tackled a lot. So just, she's...
I bring her coffee.
There's humility there, but it's...
I need coffee.
Yeah. Thank you.
Amazing.
Okay. Next, we had Director of Maintenance report, Dan Tate, and he submitted a written report that if anybody's listening would like a copy of it. I think it was in the packet, and it's probably posted.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that I guess was new to us except for maybe the, I'll just mention, it looks like you're looking into the playground equipment
mm-hmm.
and doing some renovation there or additional. Can you touch on that?
Yeah, we actually we had... Terry and I and Dan Tate had a conference call just today mm-hmm. with a design firm in Juneau. It kind of has evolved because we purchased some new playground equipment a year and a half ago, really now, we had some additional funding at the end of the year, and we know that at least, well, a couple of our swing sets are, I mean, they're safe, but they're not really in compliance anymore. They're old, and they're, you know, they're not supposed to be as tall as they are. They're not supposed to have as many swings in each bay and, you know, all those kinds of things. So we have new sets that need to be installed, but as we were looking at the where to put them and how to do that, we started thinking more about ADA compliance and, you know, the safety matting that goes down underneath the equipment and what's the best approach to take with that. And you know, so it became a little bit bigger project, and then we do have a student currently who is in a wheelchair, and we have another student who will be coming into our system who also is pretty significantly delayed physically. And so, you know, we're just trying to look at the long-term picture and making sure that our playgrounds are accessible to all of our children. So mm-hmm. anyway, we're going to get some proposals from him probably by the end of the week. We can kind of do a minimalist approach, you know, sort of what do you need to do, and maybe even a larger scheme, even just some conceptual drawings, so that maybe we could be looking at grants down the road, looking at that back area still, you know, we always have big dreams about the field of dreams back there. Forever, we keep talking about it, but yeah, so it's that's where we are with that.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? Okay. All right, we'll move on to our committee reports. These are the subcommittees that we're on. Curriculum, I was unable to attend that one. My nutcracker obligations. I will say got in the way of that one. So I don't know, Mr. Dormer, is there anything that I should probably be...
On curriculum?
That you... Nothing.
We're just scientists trying to, you know, kind of look in order, wrap things up, and
okay.
PE health. And,
I should have checked in with you before tonight.
Section one, yeah, it's okay. And,
okay.
Spanish and foreign languages.
Okay.
That's what we want to.
Mm-hmm. And tomorrow we have our technology committee meeting. So next month I'll be able to report on that. So we'll be meeting tomorrow. Crisis and policy.
We're having, I can't remember the date for the crisis meeting. I don't think we set one.
It'll be after that. We're going to do an evacuation drill in
That's
January.
Right.
And
not until
we'll
after January.
Meeting, yeah.
Or in January,
after.
But not until after the evacuation drill.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're having a policy committee meeting tomorrow.
Okay.
At noon, if anybody's really interested. It's a good time.
Wellness and facilities? Kind of quiet?
Facilities, but then there's a meeting with the health and wellness. I believe it's January 4th at 4:30, I think it was. That's not anything to report on that yet, so.
Okay. And legislative.
Well, session starts in January, so we'll be able to report more when we start
mm-hmm.
hearing what they're going to talk about. But.
Okay. And we can, I was going to, I'll put it out there for all of us so that, Brandy, if you're interested in. We can shuffle these. We don't have any contracts to be negotiating, so that's just one that pops up when needed. But the rest of these we can shuffle if someone's interested in being on curriculum or technology or any of the other ones. We can shuffle around, and they're just subcommittees that, you know, sometimes they meet once a year, twice a year, sometimes they meet more often, but like policy does.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Policy meets the most.
Yeah. And that's where you're literally going through all the policy. The idea is every 3 years you'll have gone through every policy that the board has for the school district. Some of them are pretty vanilla, and then others, you know, you want to examine. But a lot of our direction comes from the Alaska Association of School Boards because they've had already vetted it through the legal avenues a lot of times. So I guess for all of us, we need to start thinking about that, and if you've got a strong feeling of a committee that you want to stay on or be a part of, let me know, and we can shuffle. I'm happy to move committees if someone would like to be on curriculum and technology. It wouldn't bother me, so just start thinking about what you like or don't like. Okay, and special recognition.
I don't necessarily, well, I guess I just wanted to maybe recognize, and I think Karen kind of referred to this, but we've said it at different meetings, but I think it is important to note that really most of our administrators and really directors in the district are members of boards at a state level, and I think that it just is worth noting that Rick has done that. We recognized that last month. Karen has been doing that. Jamie is Region 5 Activity President, and Terry's involved in her association as well, and so I just wanted to really acknowledge that publicly. I think it's just important to be involved in that leadership in the state, and I think it's just important to have the communication across the state. And it keeps kind of coming up as we're dealing with lots of funding issues and just conversations that, you know, I don't know, things cross over a lot, and there's a lot of good information that comes back from that because we kind of live in this insulated little world here. And I think it's important to just note that. We have a lot of pretty fabulous mm-hmm. leaders in this.
And it's additional time on top
yes.
of the regular duties.
Mm-hmm. Other board meetings and
mm-hmm.
so just to recognize that.
Thank you.
Effort.
For your extra time,
mm-hmm.
even more extra time, yes.
Yeah. Time, more time away from family.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that too.
That cracker week, it was hard. Very hard to be gone.
Especially this year. Okay, so we've got some upcoming dates and meeting announcements, as we've said, but just to keep in mind, on the 15th, which is just a couple of days, we're already on Thursday, middle school Christmas concert at 7 p.m. in the Wright Auditorium, and I understand it will probably, most likely, be broadcast again, so if you happen to not be able to attend, you can find it online, which is really fun to do for the high school. We have Christmas break or vacation the 19th through January 2nd for students and staff, most staff, unless they're working that basketball tournament. And then we're already into January, where we'll be setting the board agenda on January 3rd, if anybody would like to do it with me, 8:30 in the morning.
Tuesday. So that's a Tuesday.
Is it a Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Okay. get back to, I think that'll be still be okay for me.
That still work for you?
Yeah, I'll have a 4-year-old until, but she can.
We like her
technology. So if anybody else would like to do it with us in that morning, come on by. We just can't have 3 board members.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of going over what the agenda is going to be, if there's anything to add or put on. So, and then Campus Connections on the 10th. You can do that. Or you're talking about the agenda for that evening?
Tuesday.
Yeah, the day of the meeting, the 10th.
I can.
Joe's very kind to us on the radio.
Yes.
It makes it very easy.
I'm gonna do it. Okay, Mara and I will do it.
Okay.
And then our regular board meeting on the 10th, that night at 7:00, and then Timmy Tullis with AASB will be coming down and doing some training with the board on February 1st, which will be about a strategic plan as well as anything else we probably want her to help us with. And this is on the new business. This is more for the public to know because it looks like we're all here with our technology, although we still have a little paper and you can't always get away from that, but just wanting to let the community know as well that we're, as a board, going to try to make every effort to be paperless for our school board meetings, but also for anything else that's related, any of other maybe subcommittee meetings that we attend. We all have some form of district-issued device, and the hope is that it's less work, both time as well as effort for Irene, because it is a lot to Xerox and copy everything, and also just using less paper is less expensive and it's better. And then for those that are listening, we have the information that we have on our devices is up behind on our smart board here. So, but if you do want that, the additional items that we're discussing, not only the agenda, but any of the backup or the like the reports, you can always call the district office and we can email it to you or mail it to you. And then now we'll move on to the next one, 14.2, dress code update. Principal Dwork Dorman will provide an update on the dress codes.
Yeah.
The most talked about AR. But it's important, I think, to a lot of people. So it sounds like it's been a healthy discussion.
It's not too bad. It's been just fine.
Really. Yeah.
Like, I think the silly thing of it is, I mean, it's important, and it's important for kids, and the process is very good, but just the silly thing is, it's this small thing, and we, you know, they're just doing this thing of educating, and they're looking at colleges, and they're doing sports and all this stuff, and it's still they find time to talk about dress code, which is okay. Fun to talk about it. Do you, you have a copy of it in front of you? Do you want me to put it up there?
Yes,
have you seen it?
Yeah.
I don't want to take over your Apple TV.
I'll bring it up.
It's, it was in there.
Maybe.
It's important.
I'll make it bigger.
Because it's under a certain amount.
As you noted, for people who are listening, this is not a change to our board policy, so the school board is not going to vote on this, and you do not need to approve it for it to happen or not approve for it not to happen or whatever, but we obviously, as a school, greatly value your opinion and your input on this. And so if you're looking at it there, you can see on the screen, the yellow again is the existing current policy, and it started maybe a year ago. This kid's just coming forward and saying that they felt it was outdated and that that the professional world does wear leggings and they can be appropriate. And up until that point, they had been allowed to wear to school but had been covered to mid-thigh by something. And so we've talked to people, and as you know, we interviewed several local business owners and asked what they thought and what do they allow their employees. And we've certainly asked a lot of parents, and obviously we got a lot of kid input. And then we had a team, which was me and the superintendent, Mrs. Etcher, Mr. Engel, Mrs. Lenhardt. This has gone before the high school staff as well. We've talked about it, but we had that team that kind of met with students several times and kind of put it back to them and went back and forth a little bit there. So you can see there. So we broke that into two policies. It says we do still have this standard here of you can't wear what we would call leotards, or kind of these dance tights, because they're made for exercising and dance, and they're too thin and are not considered professional. They're considered for dancing, and we're not dancing in school. I don't have any dance classes in school. Again, we talked about leotards and spandex, and then athletic compression shorts are kind of this Under Armour type of thing, which, you know, you might see the basketball players, you might see them hanging out underneath their shorts or something like that. You might be kind of a warm weather athletic gear, and we still consider to say that if you're going to wear that, they have to be covered, and that's what those clothes are meant to do. You know, dancers may be on stage in that, but they're meant to be worn, you know, underwear to keep your body temperature in and warm and for your exercising and those type of things. And we don't consider that a professional attire for school or the workplace. So we're keeping that, and the students didn't argue that. They agreed. In fact, we asked them what's not allowed, and they totally agreed. Oh, no, you can't wear tight spandex. It's terrible. So good. I'm glad you all see that, because we agree with that, too. That's not what it's for. But we do allow leggings in these yoga pants, and again, they can... So we worked the definition there. As you see, cannot allow more of the wearer's body to be seen than when wearing jean-like material. So the idea is, and now a lot of people said, well, our jeans are sometimes tighter than leggings, and I think sometimes they are. And that's what we're saying. So we're saying, talking about the material there, and then talking about the word opaque, which the students have come up with, which is appropriate. And then, of course, this substantially thicker than tight. So again, talking about the different kind of a dance tights, how different that are, and they're very thin and meant to be for movement, and how these leggings are a piece of clothing you wear to, you know, offset a dress shirt or whatever. So that is a proposed policy that the staff has felt comfortable with, and the students feel comfortable with, and the administration feels like that's great. And so, again, we're certainly open to feedback or thoughts on that. I guess right now, if you want to throw anything at us, or do you have any comment as you read it over, or what do you think?
Well, it's good. I think it's been an interesting process for the kids, it sounds like, to... Mm-hmm. And go through that, you know, collaborative effort on change,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they seem to be comfortable with now. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been very patient. We, you know, we could have hustled and
I think part of the lesson here is this stuff doesn't happen very quickly. It happens quicker in a smaller district like this than we were if we were in Anchorage, you know, years or so or something to change something small like dress code. But they've been very patient, and every now and then one of the leaders have kind of said, can we talk about it again? Yeah, let's bring it back up. And, you know, obviously we kind of went on pause for the summer, and they've been really good about that, understanding it takes time and it goes back and forth. And going back and forth doesn't mean that, you know, that one time they met very quickly and one time it took them a while. One time we went quickly, one of the first times it took us a long time to get everyone together to kind of talk about it. And that's just kind of working with people and busy work lives, so appreciate that.
And then it would become effective immediately. It wouldn't wait for the handbook next year. Is that how it works? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we would. And to be honest, we have been, and the students would say this, that we have been somewhat relaxed on our policy. And technically, because, you know, when we've said when something's come up that the existing policy is still in place until something new comes up. Mm-hmm. And the student said, it feels like it's been kind of relaxed, and says it has, because we know we're talking about this. And so we'd like to have a point where we let kids know we've talked about this for a while. This is clearly the policy that we've talked about, and make sure everyone understands it, make sure parents know it, we'll get it out, make sure teachers are aware of how to do it, and then we want to step up our enforcement a little bit. I think we're having the kids stretching it still a little bit, so. Mm-hmm. And that will be the goal when we start back in January.
Thank you. A lot of people involved in that. Thanks.
Kids were great.
I see head coverings.
Is that interesting? And that was Jim Engel, who's on the committee, and just said, he just jumped in and closed the door and said, hey, have you seen this? I didn't. It was the next one on there, and I just didn't even notice it. I'm so focused on the leggings, and I've gone over this a few times, as of many people, that we do allow hats in the high school. We don't allow them in the middle school. I don't know the elementary. We've never allowed them in the auditorium, and we continue to enforce that, but some teachers allow hats, and that's fine, and some teachers say no, and I think there are certain times in some classes where you take off your hat, and sometimes you just wear them, and it's part of their dress, and there's a lot of different things from the traditional, you know, wartime, you would wear a helmet in a castle or something like that, you know, with that kind of stuff. But so instead of there, they would be worn, and of course we allow that, so we change it there to the orange. This has not been very well vetted, and again, I'm more welcome. This is really just kind of us just chatting about it, Jim and I, and to the committee, and kind of saying, Superintendent Saw, what do you think? Just to say that it's up to the teacher discretion. Obviously, putting that in there for religious head coverings would, of course, be worn as long as they're not disruptive. Anyway, were there any thoughts on that?
No, I just noticed that. I was like,
that funny? Like, whoa. Yeah. So we wanted to thought this is a good time to make that change as well. Mm-hmm. There is that kind of field out there where some people said, well, you know, you really need to standardize it so that every teacher has exactly the same thing. And we don't do that as much in the high school. In the middle school, we tend to just say, nope, or yep, or something like that. But we've allowed, you know, headphones. We'll say there's a time in some classes where it might be okay to put on headphones, just music, or, you know, just kind of check out and work on what's in front of you on the computer, and sometimes you don't, and we've allowed that up teacher discretion, and hats is another thing where, and our, you know, we've been talking about with our syllabi where sometimes grading scales might be slightly different, and we really, at the high school level, we feel like they're these young adults, and we want to prepare them for this in the workforce, where different employers may have different standards. We know our local employers have different standards as it goes to leggings, so they probably do for many things, and certainly when you go to college, for those who've been to those professors, and one wants this, someone wants in this type of paper, and one wants your name on the right, one wants your name on the left, and so trying to give them a little bit of that within reason, and I feel this is one of those things. We feel this is one of those things. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any questions?
I have. So religious head coverings are allowed as long as they do not disrupt the educational setting. Would that mean any kind of disruption? The disruption of the wearer, or the disruption of the students'
just ability for kids to learn.
Response to the
no, not
head
that
wearing.
Response.
I mean, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, good question.
What disruption is it? The wearer, excuse me, is it the wearer being the disruption? And so then the teacher would say,
could be. Yeah,
you're being disruptive, or now students next to me is being disruptive, and so then I have to take off my head.
Yeah.
Where? So I'm just wondering where the disruption lies. Is it only with the wearer, or is it with the classroom?
No, it could be both. Like, if you could imagine if someone had, just say, a large headdress or something and didn't allow students, you know, to see or to, you know, to work on a group or something, then we would, and of course you wouldn't just yell at them and get it off now, but it'd be some discussion about how appropriate is that, and how could you physically learn and, you know, be present in the classroom. You know, this goes with a lot of kids, students' First Amendment rights, what their right is to wear, and that type of thing. And the other thing is, a kid may say, cool, I have a, let's say it's a headdress, it's with my religion, it's jangly, makes noises. Well, if I sit in class and shake it, well, then you've obviously are making a bunch of noise and we can't hear, and now you're, that is not your First Amendment right to be noisy so that other kids can't learn, because they have a right also. So
at those type of things. But if they can wear a peaceful units, you know, and a student teacher may say, well, I don't allow head coverings, but it's religious, and that would, does that help clarify a little bit?
Yeah, I'm just wondering about, I mean, then that just puts the teacher again in the enforcer position.
Yeah, we haven't had a lot of that. I have in other schools, but not as much here. And hopefully if we get to those situations, it'll be something we would talk about with the administration support as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question.
I just had a question about, since shoes shall be worn, do you not allow sandals?
It depends on the classroom also. I actually had a student just today in the hallway going to X-Tech and was trying to steal her friend's shoes because she wore sandals, and you can't wear like sandals in X-Tech. So, but we have a lot of kids who wear sandals in school. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
so that's more of a safety reason, too. I mean,
so yeah, it is
a safety reason.
Yeah. And obviously in PE, you can't wear sandals in there because it's not able to clean. Where does it say shoes up there?
Oh, the first line.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not to be barefoot.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
That'd be great too.
Good question. Shoes versus sandals. Yeah. As long as there's some sort of coverings, we have.
Yes. Feet covers.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, thank you. If you have more, feel free to email or anything. Like I said, we plan to roll it out at the beginning of the new year as we come back on the 3rd. So.
Cool.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, while hard to believe that they've been having a school board conference for 63 years, but 63rd annual AASB conference was held in Anchorage in the first part of November. Three of us were able to attend, Jay, myself, and Mara, and we tried to spread out as much as we could to go to different sessions and classes, and I thought I would just highlight one item that we have virtual high school here so that students can take classes that we can't offer here for any number of reasons, but it also opens up quite a few that they can. But out of Ketchikan, they have the Alaska Digital Academy, and it costs around $250 a class. But what I found, this one was interesting. It sounded like a lot with what we already have, but what I understood also is that you can have access to it as a parent, a community member. It's not just for high school students, and they can start at any time, and then they have a time limit of when they can finish. So if you need to take something over the summer, you can, that you weren't either able to get into that class or you need that credit because you didn't do so well, you know, the last time you were, or that semester. And so it has some unique possibilities. It sounded like just a little bit different, but also I liked the piece that it was open to adults in the community too if they wanted to do it. So learn some of the legal stuff that we have to keep track of, but also legislative, and just came back with how great our district really is, how fortunate we are with the staff, administrators, and how careful we've been financially for several years that we are not in some of yet in some of the situations that some schools have already found themselves in. So, you know, I felt pretty thankful when we came home from that too. But the last several years, it's felt that way too. So. Mara or Jade, do you
want to? One thing I think I took away was the new commissioner that's in place, Commissioner Johnson, comes from a district that is doing lots of different types of learning, not just the traditional classroom setting. You know, they've mixed up their schedule, they've mixed up the type of classes that they've offered, and so him as the leader of education now in Alaska, I think, is going to allow for districts to follow suit and to have the possibility of change if they so want it. And so I think that there's just, you know, a lot of possibility for new ideas to come out. You know, the world is changing and it's not necessarily the best fit anymore. I don't think to just sit in a classroom with a teacher standing up in front of you and still be competitive in the working world. So I think that's great that Alaska is now has that leader in place that we can kind of take off and do new things.
Probably one of the big things is trying to make every student feel like they're very important and they're all, help them all be successful, not just certain little segments, but everybody. So they're really pushing that and helping the kids realize where they're from and how much our community is behind them and how proud we are of them. So they know that just representing themselves or they're alone, they're representing all of us. And how proud we are of all of them as a community. Mm-hmm. That was important to help them succeed and stuff.
Yeah.
We appreciate the fact that we can still afford for us to go up there. And, you know, maybe someday we won't be able to, but at this point, I think the information that we come back with, and I know Cheryl has felt that way before when she has been able to attend, but you always bring back something new to contribute in some way or to either solidify some of the education you already have on not only being a board member, what we should or should not be doing, but just where we try and keep pointing the district toward. So. Okay, next, our strategic plan. I don't really have an update besides that we're going to go. Timmy Tolles is going to be coming down in February and helping us rework it and update it since every three years, we have to update it. So we'll be working on that in February, but we can start thinking about it, looking at the strategic plan, and getting some of our own ideas together before we meet with her as a board. I don't know if anybody else has any thoughts on it right now, or just wait till our training, our session in February. We want to kind of get a jump start on it since it technically expires at the end of the school year, so by getting that taken care of in February, we won't feel as pressured as we hit May to get it done. So it'll be a long afternoon, evening, but it usually is, and it's only like 3 years.
She's fun, though. So
she is. So. Okay. Any additional comments from board members? No? Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
We're happy to have you here.
It's not always exciting.
Oh, yeah. Until something happens.
Future agenda items. I think we've got maybe the food service policy that we'll be looking at maybe in January.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's any other policies that are.
When do we start talking about school calendar?
That doesn't usually happen until.
That would be January, February, too.
Yeah, she starts pulling staff.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to maybe talk about having the student representative have an advisory vote.
Okay.
In our board meetings.
No, I think that'd be a good idea. Okay.
Discuss that.
Okay. Okay. And then if you think of anything else between now and then, we can certainly put it on the agenda. Just let me know. And when we meet in January to set the agenda, we can add it then. So, okay. If there's nothing else at this time, then we'll go ahead and I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. 5-0. Good night.